The franchise premiered Wednesday night on Showtime, with five more episodes scheduled to air through August. Mike Tolan is the show's executive producer, and he joins us now from NPR West in Culver City. Mike Tolan, good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
Well, my first question, of course, is why the San Francisco Giants? Of course, they did win the World Series last year, but I was thinking, you know, you might have done better in terms of pulling a national audience if it had been the Red Sox, the Yankees, a team like that. Well, why the Giants?
I think when we made the decision, it was really about storytelling and characters. If you're going to do a weekly series, scripted or unscripted, ultimately the audience will decide if it wants to come back every week based on how compelling the characters are and how interesting are the storylines. With the Giants, whether they'd won the World Series or not, you have a fascinating and colorful collection of characters. I mean, this is not the best team money can buy. It's not the team with each player in the clubhouse representing its own brand, as is somewhat the case with some East Coast teams that will remain nameless. We were really looking for a combination of characters who we thought the audience would find entertaining, and ultimately a group that would give us the kind of access that we'd need to tell stories that would be honest, candid, fresh. So the truth is that the decision to go after the Giants and center the show around them was made before they had that trophy on the mantle. We started having the discussions last fall. The Giants were certainly in the conversation, and it was clear they were going to be a factor in the postseason play, but they had not yet won. They had not yet won the championship when I started having a dialogue with the Giants president Larry Bear. It went on for a series of months. Ultimately, there was a lot of buy-in necessary to make this work. As you can imagine, great sensitivities from Major League Baseball, Central Office, Players Association, Brian Sabian, the general manager, and Larry Bear and Bill Newcomb from a front office perspective. Certainly Bruce Bochy and his players, that ultimately was the deciding factor. They had to be comfortable. They had to understand our agenda and be willing to trust us that we wouldn't violate the sanctity of the clubhouse, that we wouldn't cross that line. So it took a number of months, and in fact, there were some rocky patches along the way till ultimately we all decided to dip our toes in and give it a shot.
You know, baseball players and athletes generally are often kind of masters of the cliche, you know, one game at a time, those sorts of phrases. They're not often revealing. How do you get players and people who are in a profession where they do guard their privacy and are not always the most articulate? How do you pull out interesting stuff from people like that and gain their trust?
When you start with a team that has Brian Wilson as a closer, there's a reasonably good chance you're going to transcend the cliche. Brian Wilson sets a tenor, I think, for the clubhouse in a certain kind of way. He is beyond unguarded. He is always searching for the new and for the different. Not to say that he does it just to titillate. I think that's just who he is. I think he has an enormous amount of fun in his dealings with the media. I was at the ESPYs, and there he was in all his glory. I can't even describe the outfit, but I'm guessing they didn't put him up to it. I'm guessing that he suggested, what if I wear this, and what if I do this and say this?
He was wearing all spandex, wasn't he? Something like that?
Yes. The bullpen is often a treasure trove of content. I've been making baseball-related films for, I'm almost afraid to admit how long. It's been three decades. I was the writer-producer for the Phillies World Series championship film in 1980. So I've been doing it a while, and I can tell you the bullpen, just because those guys are hanging out with not that much to do for most of the game. So there's a lot of free time. There's a lot of idleness. We once had a cookout in a bullpen, not major leagues, but on a Phillies farm team. They actually had a marshmallow roast in the bullpen while the game was going on. So it was natural for us to kind of gravitate to the bullpen it was natural for us to gravitate to the bullpen, not just because of the presence of Brian Wilson, but guys like Romo and Affelt and Lopez have proven to be, you know, a great source of material and have helped us go beyond the cliche. And if I may, to further answer your question, Scott, the stakes are so high. I mean, groundbreaking is a big word. I don't want to overstate what we're doing here. But we are moving the needle a little bit in that we're shooting during the regular season. We're capturing reality when these guys are defending their title and going after another pennant. And so I think, you know, to go back to the premise, compelling characters and interesting storylines, you kind of got that built in. There's an awful lot at stake every day. And that's why, you know, we're doing something that I think qualifies more as cinema verite. It's more documentary than reality series. It's really just about us being there and capturing it rather than creating, you know, reality in quotes. One of the stumbling blocks early on was when you say reality show, people understandably and appropriately kind of run for cover or get concerned about what are the sensibilities and what's the agenda. And so what we had to do is make people realize that, you know, we were baseball guys who understood the sanctity of the clubhouse, who understood the magnitude of what's going on and the opportunity we've been given, and that we're documentary filmmakers. I mean, that's my background in the film business, is as a documentary filmmaker. Fly on the wall, cinema verite, you know, stand back and let it unfold. We are not in the genre of reality programming in the sense of, you know, creating a reality or manufacturing a situation.
One of the most dramatic moments, no question, in the season so far for the Giants, and it was really a dramatic high point, I guess, in the premiere episode, was the season-ending injury to Buster Posey, the Giants catcher who was last year's Rookie of the Year. Terrible collision at the plate in a game against the Florida Marlins. Obviously devastating to Posey, devastating to the Giants, but to you, it's luck in a sense, because it's a great story. How did you navigate that with the team?
Tricky. The Buster Posey incident presents, as you said, great opportunity for storytelling, but at the same time, it's a catastrophe for the team. And when you get involved in a project like this, you kind of become part of the team. I mean, you're pulling for these guys. I mean, you have to stay nonpartisan in your storytelling and in your filmmaking, but you can't help but be drawn into these guys, especially such a lovable cast of characters. So the first response is, that's horrific. It's hard to watch. You feel for Buster. You feel for the team. You feel for Bochy, who, of course, was a catcher and knows all too well what that's about. In fact, when we were discussing how to handle our treatment of the Buster Posey injury, we recalled that in 1980 in the playoffs, Pete Rose came barreling in to home plate, and there was Bruce Bochy, the current manager of the Giants, the catcher at the time for the Houston Astros, and the ball comes in and it bounces away and Rose barrels him over. It was, you know, eerily reminiscent. So you kind of have to put your hurt feelings aside quickly and jump into action and navigate through those choppy waters and try to get as broad a cross-section as possible. This became a great source of controversy. It was the, I guess the term now is the trending topic. You know, for about a week, maybe 2 weeks in baseball, it was topic number one, discussing the injury and discussing the notion that perhaps the rules are antiquated and there should be a change in what's allowable. Should runners be able to barrel in full force into a catcher who's sitting there at their mercy? Bruce Bochy had a lot to say about it. Brian Sabian had a lot to say about it. So did a lot of players, both on the Giants and around the game. Was Scott Cousins a villain? Was he just doing his job? Ultimately, the play won the game for the Marlins. This is a rookie, you know, trying to make the team. And ultimately, both Sabian and Bochy had very strong comments, and it was our job to include them, but also to include their response to others' comments and to their own. And then when the dust settled a little bit, here's Buster Posey now coming back to the clubhouse for rehab, kind of wheeling around on this strange contraption, which is really difficult to watch, the fallen hero. And then ultimately, Buster was great about granting us time and giving us his own reflection. So I think we've really presented a very broad-based dialogue, covered all the bases. And at this point, we will continue to follow Buster's rehab over the next 5 episodes.